I've suffered with darkness and pangs of depression, and I'll use the word self-harm. Got a job at the UN, and then I got a promotion at the UN, a decent salary, but the UN wasn't giving me the fulfillment I wanted more. So I had my side hustles. I had permission to have side hustles. Somebody was jealous of me. They made a big stink about it. I didn't stop after the permission was taken because I already had a bite of the entrepreneur apple. Therefore, my contract wasn't renewed. I wouldn't carry the story. I've just been fired. Need your help. Wrong way to approach people. I just turned on, hey, I know we're going to do an event in 6 months. Could you have some budget to fly me there? Give me a hotel. Maybe you can give me an honorarium of $3,000, $4,000. Do that over and over again. That's how you build a book of business. Everybody can be themselves and make a bigger impact in their personal brand. How can I make a greater impact? It's how do you build trust and how do you make a sale? Everybody wants the money, but the only way you can make a sale is if you've built trust. And the only way you can build trust is...
Well, everyone, welcome back to Success Rewritten. I'm your host, Emily Lomenzo-Washkovic, and today I have with me Ramon Ray. Ramon is a serial entrepreneur, keynote speaker, and small business champion. He has built and sold many companies, and he helps entrepreneurs grow their visibility and influence through personal branding and content. I've known Ramon my whole time at Yelp, or known of him, I should say. Ramon, thank you so much for taking the time to join me today.
Hey, Emily, well, you know, it's great to be here. And I'm never going to complain about people saying my name after hearing how you said your name. I'm done. There's never going to be a complaint about people mispronouncing my name ever. But it's great to be here on Success Rewritten. Thanks for having me, Emily. And thank you for all you do in the small business world that we've known each other in, but and wherever else the journey takes you. So thank you for having me here that I hopefully can add some value to your audience.
I appreciate it. And you are just one of those enthusiastic, energetic people. I think the first time I saw you speak was in person. Tell everyone, for those who don't know you, a little bit about your journey, where you started, and then how you got to today on stage helping entrepreneurs all around the world.
Absolutely. And thank you for being here. And again, I hope to provide a lot of value through my story. But my whole intention of being here is, hey, how do we help that listener listening and maybe give them inspiration? We'll see. But today, as you already said, I'm a small business ambassador for Bitdefender. That's one. I'm a serial entrepreneur who's produced, started 5 companies, sold 3 companies, authored a number of books. But today, yes, a brand ambassador, variety of amazing brands. I have a coaching program helping small businesses really get unstuck, get to the next level in their businesses. That's called Ramon Office Hours. Publisher of zoneofgenius.com, a platform providing amazing content for entrepreneurs. So Ramon is some people have said a renaissance man. I don't know what that means, but I think it means that someone who does a lot of different things, which is not always good, Emily. So that's who I am today, as a speaker, writer, producer, but all focused on helping small businesses grow in some way, or working with brands to help them reach small businesses in one shape or fashion. So that's who I am today. The short of the story is, and then I'll see where you want to take this, is the short of it is how I got here. Side note about me personally, by the way, I've been married for about 32 years or so. I have 2 adult children. I am a grandfather and a half. My second grandson is on the way in 6 months or so. He's germinating. I think that's the word. I don't know if they use that just for ducks or something, but germinating. So short of the story is, Emily, I worked at the United Nations for many, many years. So that was one stint of my life that I think it was good. It was good for my development, professional development and learning. You know, United Nations, a great organization. So I was there when I was about 20-something years old for a number of years until I was fired and let go. And we can unpack that story later on if you wish. So that's one aspect of my life. I went to school. I finished my college degree as an adult. You know, I studied for 2 years. Stopped going to college, got a job at the UN, and then I got a promotion at the UN. And in order to keep that promotion, I had to go to college. But really, my journey is one who I think those early years of the early 1990s, as I shared with you before we recorded, I got my first domain in April 1999. So to give people context, AOL, Prodigy, CompuServe, before blogging was popular, you would save your blog several times and FTP at this kind of file system where you went up. Another data point where USB thumb drives were really popular. Emily, do you have my thumb drive? Emily, where's my thumb drive? I need to get the file to Bob, right? So those days, I'll pause there, Emily, but that's when I started. And then being at the UN in this time, that was a great catalyst. We didn't have network computers. I helped network computers. We didn't have a browser. This was the really beginning. I downloaded the first browser and showed people the internet, browsing a Mozilla browser at that time period, getting from our AOL or CompuServe account, moving to a more formal internet, ISDN. So that was how I started before streaming and stuff we do now take for granted was popular. And then imagine over 15 years leveraging that in a small UN office. And here I am today talking to Emily. Was that too much?
No, not too much at all. And really good context for those early days. Do you remember back then, like, what was your North Star or your drive? Was it climbing the ladder? Was it helping people? Like, what kind of drove you back then in those early days of your career?
Yeah, I think it was, the main thing was really feeding my family. I was working at the United Nations. I was there for many years. I got that job right out of high school. So I had great parents. Father and mother were ministers and great people, ministers, you know, faith. Ministers can be different things than different people, but church people. And great parents. But no, I didn't have Ramon, my son. Before I die, I want you to be this. I didn't have that. I mean, I think I got a job at the UN because you're supposed to get a job. It was a good job and I was happy. And I, at the time, I was my son, who's today about 30 years old. I remember when he was born and I was dating my current wife then. So that was a, you know, some people, oh my God, good for me. I remember the day that was a big point in my life. Like, oh, no, I wasn't ready for it. I had a child on the way. Didn't even comprehend. I mean, I was a grown man, but you know, everybody grows up different. I'm like a kid. It just, whoa. So I think that was also part of it. Having a child and starting a family young, meaning, you know, before you're 25, I had to grow up quick. So for much of my early career was providing for my family. That was probably, Emily, my North Star. But the second one is, I think back, I think being at the UN, I clearly had a tech slant. Only you and I, Emily, will know what it's like to Q-U-E-U, big, thick books, where if you wanted to learn Microsoft Access, front page, you want to learn anything, you get these big sucker books like this, you'd open that bad boy up, and there was no Google, there was no Alta Vista. So is that helpful? So that was my North Star. Just, I had a tech slant to me somehow. So I was very techie, but then also just really being at the UN, feed my family. You know, that was it.
Well, and for many people, that is what the start of their career is. I mean, when I talked to my dad, he did not pick or choose what industry he was in the early days because he had a passion for it. It was because we had a lifestyle that he wanted to have and he wanted to be able to give us certain things as his kids. And so that drove very much of what he did. It wasn't until we were no longer on the payroll that he started kind of doing more of what he wanted to do. For you, it sounds like that transition from the UN was kind of thrust upon you. Can you talk us through what that looked like and then what that next period brought?
Yeah. So while I was at the United Nations, that's where I started Family Computer Consulting Services. Just me, small business, installing modems, M-O-D-E-M-S, modems. Emily and all the kids don't know what modems are. Emily's like, she only knows what TikTok is. Emily don't know. She pretended she knows. She don't know.
Not me. I wish I was still that young.
So modems is this thing, everybody, that connect computers together. Anyways, I'm just having some fun here. So, but installing modems and motherboards and chips and not chips, because I didn't do that, but software, you know, hey, Ramon, my computer doesn't work. So did that. That's where I started Family Computer Consulting Services, dissolved it. That's where I bought my domain, smallbiztechnology.com, grew that, and other things like that. So that was really the beginning years of how that started, which led me, you know, the series of journeys, which enabled me to be who I was because I had that tech background. And God gives us all things different. Some people are artists. Some people like to cook. Some people like to do hair, whatever it is. For me, that journey was really that early year. But I have a feeling, Emily, I didn't answer your question directly. Remind me, did I answer it?
No, you're good. You're segueing me. So you were side hustling while you were at the UN. You were doing these businesses.
Yes, thank you. That's what it was. Yes, at the UN, working, getting a salary, decent salary. But it wasn't because I needed the money, Emily. I just like to do stuff. The UN maybe wasn't giving me the fulfillment. I was there. It was a cool, you know, put on my suit or whatever it was. But I wanted more. So yes, side hustling to do my computer consulting, dissolve that business. That I bought a domain name because remember, as I said, I was at the right time to know domains and internet, bought a domain name, started interviewing probably many of our early peers back in the day, right? Microsoft and others about small business, started an event business at the UN. And then that was the catalyst where I was fired and I've launched a few more things since then. But that was the early days of really me being tech early days. So the UN was a blessing and gave me angst live streaming. The boss at the time, his name was Jean-Marc Roicou, a French gentleman with a thick accent, but he spoke seven languages, Emily. And he was the one who said, Ramon, and I won't say it in French, Ramon, our ambassadors are not stupid people. They're very smart people. They're just very busy. It's up to us. We worked at an academic place in the UN. It's up to us to educate them what we're doing in simple words. And I know you know this, Gordon. I'm getting him. You see what I'm saying? He acknowledged back then they're smart people, but they're going from coal to malnutrition to space to should we invade? That's the job of an ambassador, right? They have a lot. They have no time for the, so we have to distill it to them so we can keep our funding. That was one lesson learned. But then he was a marketer. He was the one who brought live streaming into our office, went to Radio Shack again, R-A-D-I-O, Radio Shacks. That's another one. Emily pretended she knew. Emily, you never been to a Radio Shack.
I do. I actually have shopped at a Radio Shack before.
He's like, boy, I know. So yeah, so went there and bought it. You know, the camcorder wires, connected it to some thick brick of a computer. So that was that early start of tech. But having that boss who, even though maybe we had a little angst, showing me just marketing and how to get people into events, Emily, this would be the early 90s. He would ask, okay, we got 10 people signed up, 20 people signed up, 30 people signed up. So I learned a lot of that from him.
I love that. Okay, so when you were laid off from the UN, were you already feeling like, oh, I've got all this other stuff I can do? Oh, sorry.
You're fired? Or my contract wasn't renewed. You can use one of two words, but laid off sounds too nice. Laid off sounds like, you know, laid off. No. Fired or contract not renewed. Go ahead.
Okay. So did you kind of know that it was coming, or it was a surprise?
It was a surprise. Meaning, let me give the context of the why. So I had my side hustles. I had permission to have side hustles. But at the UN, like any quasi-government organization, I don't know how it is in private sector. Everybody's different. But I know for government and quasi, you cannot have a side hustle. Unless you have permission. So I had permission.
Yeah.
Somebody was jealous of me, Emily. They made a big stink about it. And so I didn't stop after the permission was taken because I already had a bite of the entrepreneur apple.
Of course.
I don't want to give it up. And so therefore my contract wasn't renewed. So I felt it was coming because I was investigated. It was, Emily, that time in my life was a lot of stress.
Yeah. How did you navigate that?
Yeah, you just got to make it work. I mean, that's it. You know, the car is going down and crashing. You just got to get the knife, cut your seatbelt off and jump out. That's it. If you don't, you're going to die. So meaning how to navigate that, looking back at it, Emily. You know, I think, and my wife reminded me of this. I have a good wife. I think as she reminded me, I didn't see it then. She's a stay-at-home mom. We're homeschoolers. Everybody has a different journey. But she held down the home, as it were, like didn't stress me, didn't, you know, what are we going to do? She trusted me. So I think that was part of it. But when I got fired, see, I was getting ready to say laid off, Emily. When I got fired, I had some money in the bank from a client. And my wife would tell me, Ramon, okay, we, you know, 5,000, say our draw every month, you know, 5,000 gone, 5,000 gone, 5,000 gone. And so I had to make it work. I'd go back to all the brands I was working with back in the day. Nope, can't fly here for free. Nope, can't do this for free. I need at least some bread or some milk or $10,000, whichever one you like. You know, so that was how that started. That's why I got fired, had a contract, which had a little bit of money in the bank. And I just had to then spin up all the relationships and start to make it work and make money out of what I was doing.
I love that. I think pressure often creates some of the best output. Like it squeezes you, right? So tell me about that next phase, because I feel like that period is probably when I started seeing you everywhere. I mean, I had to tap into what the Small Business Network was in the US. You know, I was trying to like figure out what markets we were going to launch and all that fun stuff. And you were everywhere. So how did you pivot at that point? What were you doing on a day-to-day basis? Like, what did that phase look like when you were fully in doing your own thing? No more UN.
Yeah. And Emily, shout out to you. I mean, Emily had like the small business private jet. She had the small business limo. She was like popping like, yo, her mom was up, you know? So, hey, shout out to you, Emily.
You kill me. I knew it was going to be like this today, which is why I had to do a little of my own brush up, because I was like, he's going to come. I know he's going to be bringing it. And just the laughing, that is what I remember about anything I've ever seen you do or been with you. It's like this energy and lightness, but I know that is a part of a bigger wheel of what's going on. So, okay, I want to get into that later, but tell me about this, like you're on your own now. How is it feeling? Who were your clients? What were you doing?
Yeah. So about 20 feet from me over there in my garage, I have a letter. It came from DHL. Said, Ramon, your contract is not renewed as of Friday. And I believe it was a Wednesday. So 3 days, which again, fair for both of us. I was warned, didn't do it, you know, so it wasn't acrimonious. It was just angst. I didn't give it up. But the next day, really what it was is tapping into my network. I had the money in the bank. So this was really, and I don't have it exactly, but I'm guessing something like, let's say, Emily, it was you. Let's say you had called me and said, Ramon, pretend, you know, hey, Ramon, Emily's at a big brand. Ramon, can you come and speak at our event? Emily says she has no budget. As an example, that happens, right? People think big companies that Emily has budget. I remember I was with Facebook once and she's like, Ramon, just so you know, Facebook's small business. But this was like many years ago. It's us too. Like, this is the budget and we don't have a lot. I'm like, wait a minute. What? You got billions. Like, pay me my 100. She's like, no. They have
billions. Yes. That was right? How I always felt. I'd be coordinating these events and I'm like trying to nickel and dime. And people are like, where did you say you work again? I'm like, don't get me started.
Yeah, people don't get it. So that was my, you know, in the small business field. But how it started was, as an example, go to somebody like an Emily, right? Who says, Ramon, can we work with you? Emily, hey, listen, I wouldn't carry, that's another tip. I wouldn't carry the story. I've just been fired. Need your help. Wrong way to approach people. I just turned on, hey, Emily, I know we're going to do an event in 6 months, right? Not if it's the next day, but 6 months. Love it. Could you have some budget to fly me there? Give me a hotel. Maybe you can give me an honorarium of $3,000, $4,000. Do that over and over again. That's how you build a book of business. You add value to Emily's event or whichever. This is how I did it, Emily. You know, yes, these brands I'm working with, add value, follow up. Tip number two. Let's do the next one. So one, working with the brands I have and doing more. I remember at the time as well, I had some writing gigs and it's totally different now, but I think I was writing for Inc. at the time. There was a magazine called Small Business Computing back in the time, right? Emily knows these things. And I remember Black Enterprise as well. And they're like, Ramon, yes, we can give you a dollar per word. I'm like, my wife, that is so chintzy. Who wants a dollar per word? And then I kept reading and Emily knows where I'm going. Could you write 5,000 words? I said, whoa, stop. Wait a minute. Whoa. I'm like, 5,000 words?
Totally.
No, say less. So that's how it started. Writing, brand sponsorships, and just asking for the money, asking for the dollar, because now I had to make it work. Is that helpful?
That's great. Okay, so you were doing all this. You had your domain too. So like you were creating content under this brand, this business, this company, and building your own personal brand too. And that's something that I was hoping we could dig into, because as you've sold some of these businesses, there's obviously the you of it that, for one, can't be sold, but allows you to, you know, parlay into the next thing. When you were starting that first technology platform helping educate small business owners, did you think you were going to ultimately sell or no? Okay. Tell me about how that went.
No, I mean, well, how it started, if you want that one, was, you know, buying the domain, adding content, you grow it. Now, today I'm thinking of things as assets because, you know, 53 years old, back then 20 years old, whatever, you know, years later. But no, I just did stuff. And I think, Emily, to some degree, I'm still kind of ish like that. I mean, you have success rewritten. Emily's amazing show. I'm thinking low-key in my mind. It's not a particular strategy. What can we do with this? Right. You hear what I'm saying? I'm just giving people a real life example. I'm small business. This is Ramon Ray Inc. right here. Yeah, I'm building a business, couple hundred thousand, 1, 2, 3 million in revenue. I've done that. But in order to grow, Emily, not the billion, hundreds of million dollar companies that we know we've worked with, but for what I'm trying to do, you got to work with people who you trust, who you like. They have carrots, you have onions. So my point being to answer the question, no, I didn't know I was going to sell smallbiztechnology.com back then. But today I understand monetization. I understand assets, building something that has scale, building something that has systems that you may decide to sell, but doesn't have to. Emily or Ramon, we could do what we're doing, being able to pay what we want, serving our families, give back to our communities. And I'm guessing we both want to do and have a little bit more extra profit, retire on that. No shame in that. So I happen to have sold 3 companies, but who knows which asset I will or will not sell in the next 3 to 5 years.
Yeah, I really like that way of thinking about entrepreneurship. And I also think if you're building a business and thinking about selling it one day, you're making better systems and processes and things are likely going a little bit smoother while you're running. Not always, that's a generalization, but when you're not thinking about how it's going to run without you or whatever, sometimes everything lives up here and the business isn't as tangible of a thing for someone else to want to acquire. Tell me about when you sold your first business. Was that like super exciting? Was it like stressful? Did it feel weird giving up your baby? Like, what was that journey like?
Yeah. So I sold three. One was Zone of Genius. One was smarthustle.com. One was smallbiztechnology.com. And then one was Small Business Summit. So I think the first, you know, so listen, selling a business, I'm glad you're asking this question. It's a great teaching moment. It means different things to different people. You could sell the business and lose money. You could have sold the business and had a massive amount of debt and saw none of it. You could have sold the business and the IRS took half of it. So all those things. So for me, Emily, as I think about selling the first business, it was great that somebody saw value in it. I had a partner at the time, so you could say I had to split the money with her, or I got to split the money with her, meaning, you know, it was part of, she was a great human, great person. I love her. But, you know, so I think the feeling was, yeah, it was a good feeling. It was a great feeling. But the hindsight, Emily, the hindsight, and whether I do it the fourth or fifth time, is I have to figure out a way to take more money out of the sale when I do it again. How can I be smarter regarding paying the IRS? Those are things. Can I try to be a bit more debt-free so when I sell it for $2, I'm not giving up $2 to pay off something else, you know? Real talk. But yeah, it's always a good feeling to build something. And that was the Small Business Summit. Did it for over 10 years, having hundreds of people attended each year. And sold it to a fellow blogger, Blog World, I think they may still be around. Sold it to a fellow blogger and event producer, and it was good.
That's how I think Small Business Summit. It's all coming back to me that was like the anchor of how we met. Beyond just me seeing what you were doing, that was it.
Tell the true story, Emily. I bet I came to Emily and said, Emily, could you sponsor? Yeah. You know what? Well, it come in for $50,000. She's like, you know, Ramon, maybe let me get back to you. And I'm like, okay. She came back, Ramon, you know, I got $3,000 budget. Do you want to take it or leave it?
That sounds pretty accurate. It might have been five, but that sounds pretty accurate.
That didn't pay a value. So what are we going to do here?
And my boss, I do remember. But that was the day of like, let me HTML code and email in to 30,000 business owners in this industry. Like that was the days when I could barter by saying, I can invite this audience of small business owners. And oh my gosh, it was very very valuable to both sides. And I do remember we were able to prove to to my company how valuable it was and do more the next year. So like that was always something about your stuff, whether you were a speaker or like it was your event, it was always value in the room. And I think that's based on those relationships. Like you, I feel like I know you and I know we've only met or worked together a few times loosely, but you bring together people that also want to connect with each other. What is that? I mean, that's just like your personality. How do you like hone and use that? Any advice for people that just feel like that is not their jam?
I love that question. Somebody told me, Emily, that Ramon, you get value or you get energy from other people. And I didn't realize that because I was really questioning, am I just a loud mouth? And I know I'm not arrogant per se. I'm a nice person, but you know, loud mouth, arrogant, attention seeking person. There could be some of that. You got to have some degree of something. But I was comparing it, Emily, to those who are shy. Like, are shy people, because Becky or John says, no, I don't want the mic. Does that mean they're better than me? Because that was only the justification, maybe it's because of church or whatever, like, you know, the quiet, humble people. So I'm like, does that mean us loud people are evil? Right? That's the only, right? If you brought up where people say eating apples are bad, that means oranges must be good. That's all I could think. But my point is to answer that, and I love the question. Other people give me energy. If I'm in the room here silent, I'm putting on Netflix, putting on Amazon, eating my hot chili chips, you know, doing what I do. But when Emily's there with her smile, with her laugh, with her energy, it brings it out of me, and together, boom. So yes, I think all these years, Emily, and you pulled out a beautiful thread here. That's one of the most consistent things I've been. You said my smile and laugh. Thank you. I'm honored that you see that. But it's events because it brings people together. 300 people or 10 people together. A new brand I launched, we can talk about it later, but just to put a bow on that, Genius Talks Events, brand new brand, bringing 20 people together. It's happening. It's being sold out. So it's bringing people together. I think people want to do that. They don't want to be alone.
We are going to talk about the current thing in a little bit, but I just want to quickly double tap for anyone that wasn't listening closely enough. This goal of yours for this new thing was 20 people in a room. Sometimes I think we think too big, right? We're like, this isn't successful. We don't have like hundreds of thousands of people liking or whatever. Just tell me, what's the value of 20 people in a room that all small business owners overlook? Like if you had 20 people that loved your business, or if you have them, That's gold. Can you just say more on that?
I love that, Emily. So I've done and I will have events that are bigger. It's great for sponsorships and events and all the things. And people want to, you know, you just feel gravitas. But I said, let me test bringing together 20 people. Emily, I've been told, and what the testimonials say is people love it. I can throw a eraser and hit Emily on the nose in a fun, good way and say hi to her is what I'm trying to say. So the 20 people, A, you can meet everybody in the room. Two, you can have very meaningful conversations. And three, it's the people coming that's making the difference. 300 people, 400 people is great. But imagine me and you, Emily, and 18 of our high value friends. Everybody's valuable in the world. People calm down. But I'm talking about, you know, the people we know, Emily, our baller people who we know, bringing them in a room. You can't beat that impact. The person who knows this president, the person who knows that $1 million, the person who knows Mr. Beast, the person who knows this, and 20 of us in a room, not saying Mr. Beast, but meaning the people who know people, that's what I'm aiming to bring together. So yes, I'm niching down. I will do a big event. I will keep doing those, but my eye is now 20 to 30 people, 50 maybe, but you see, I don't even let 50 sounds too big even. 20 to 30 people around a table, having a great time and hosted by me, bringing my energy that I like, bringing them there. For that matter, I'm going to find out where you are, Emily. We may roll up in your town and do one near you.
I would love it. I would love it. Okay. I want to talk a little bit about just like in general, when you're an entrepreneur, failure it's a part of it, right? It's baked in. How did you navigate that back then? How do you navigate it now? I would assume it's changed throughout the journey, but share with me what that's looked like for you.
Yeah. Back then, Emily, I don't remember when it was, but 15 years, I'm guessing, could be less, 10 years ago. I had an event, Small Biz Tech Tour. Bought that domain too, by the way. If you want to buy it from me, you're welcome to. Maybe you were part of it, I don't remember, but smallbiztechtour.com. Did the series of events. What I'm trying to get at is I tried to expand to San Francisco, where I don't have a big base. I have a base that's more East Coast centric. Emily, nobody came. Maybe three people came, but I had promised that we'd have 100 people. So that was a failure. That was a failure. So my point is what to do when you fail. A, try not to fail. Try to set expectations. Try to mitigate things. Try to have plan A, B, C. But when you fail, Emily, there's nothing else to do. Let's say, Emily, you're the one I made the promise to. Hey, Emily, listen, I told you, Emily, 50 people were going to come. I'm so sorry, Emily. One person showed up. I thought we'd have more. Here's what I did, Emily, to try to do it. Building trust. Don't want to be a scam. That you never want to have that label. Here's the people who did sign up, Emily. Okay, so now Emily's past the stage of thinking Ramon's a evil scammer. That you don't want. So you pass that. Now, Emily, what can we do? Because now you got people looking at you. Now you look a little bad. So now, Emily, what can we do? And by the way, Emily, here's a suggestion. Now you see, actually, I'm providing a solution to you. Can we do this? Could you be on 10 more of my live shows? Because Emily, you know my live shows have people. 10 more on that. By the way, if you'll pay my way, I'll fly to your headquarters and do a special presentation. Would that help, Emily? So you unpack what I just did, Emily. Maybe you can say it better. But do you see what I tried to do there? I made a mistake. I fell down. And I can go to things, get back up again and all that. But let's say in this relationship, you got to make it right. Try at least somehow. That's what I'd say, Emily.
That was perfect. And I think the human part of any of these business, like failures, successes, is what keeps you grounded. And I do think that for so many businesses, they're trying to survive, right? And so sometimes a failure feels like this huge inconvenience. And not that everything has to teach you something, but I do think sometimes with a little bit of hindsight, you can extract a lesson or a learning that helps you the next time. Talk to me a little bit about like experimentation. I feel like you've spoken in the past about like you have to try stuff, which means mistakes or things are going to pop up. Is that like something that comes easy to you? Do you have to push yourself through experimentation, even knowing sometimes it might fail?
For me, so for the audience, experimentation is important and you should definitely discipline yourself to do it, to try, test. And as Dave Ramsey says, we don't want to make fatal errors. For those listening, I was trying to have a Southern accent. I try. Okay. But for me, it's a gift. I must say it comes easy for me to experiment, but to a fault, because I can experiment, try. And I need somebody like you, for example, Emily, if I was partnering with you to slow me down. Ramon, let's be thoughtful. We've experimented 7 times now and lost millions of dollars. Let's slow down. So yes, for me though, I'm an ever experimenter, ever trier, ever, let's see what happens. Small Biz Tech Tour, what I launched, you know, years ago. I think I stole the domain. It was just a whim. Let me buy the domain and try it. Small Business Summit, Emily, same thing. I walked into a Roosevelt Hotel near Grand Central Station, put down my credit card, tried it. Smallbiztechnology.com, similar thing. Smarthustle.com, which I sold. I just bought the domain. Zone of Genius, which I'm running today. Same thing, Genius Talk. So yes, I think all these things that I've done, Emily, yeah, it's been a season of let's try it. And then ideally partnering with somebody who can help not ground me like I'm a kid, but ground me in a cool way like Ramon. I can help you now scale this or put guardrails on it and build it. Because alone, it may be a little tough for me, but I'm great at dreaming and visioning. That's my genius.
Yeah. Well, and I think you know yourself enough to know that it's good to have like an external accountability partner. And I'm kind of the same way. When I decided to start this show, I was like, I need a production company. Like I could do it. I used to do a lot of the start to end at Yelp. But if I have someone else holding me accountable for recording, keeping up with the flow, and then I know I'm going to get certain assets back from them that I can repurpose and use. It's like I need a little bit of the tag teaming so that I can spend some of that other time exploring these other things I want to do and figuring out who else I want to partner with. So I like that idea of thinking about who you can work with, internal, external. Let's talk a little bit about current day. Like, what are your big focuses right now? I also want to talk a little bit about mental health and entrepreneurship and just like this strain we sometimes don't see. But let's first talk about where you're at right now and the big projects that you're pushing forward currently.
Yeah, thank you, Emily. For many years, I was chasing other people's North Stars in a good way, I think. Tyler Perry, love him. I don't think I'll ever be a billionaire like him. Or Kevin Hart. That's another North Star of mine. He's a comedian. He's funny, but he's talent and he has companies. I'm looking at others like that. You know, Seth Godin's a friend of mine, seeing what he's built, you know? So I'm still doing that. I always want to look at people. But what I'm honing into more at the age of 53 is Ramon has a following. Ramon has some cachet. Ramon knows Emily. Ramon knows people. And I'm building my own platform. So that's one, building my own platform and trying to realize the best person I can be is myself. So some big things I'm working on is one, growing Genius Talks. That's a brand new series of events, Genius Talks events. We're bringing people together. That's one. Number two, my coaching, Ramon Office Hours, coaching small business owners, helping them grow. And that thank you. And that's growing to the next level. So those two big pillars. And then three is really being a brand ambassador. I'm honored to work with a company, Bitdefender. Bitdefender's in a global company. And their one purpose, where Yelp's main purpose is how do we get more retailers, shine the light on them. Bitdefender's main purpose is how do we get small business owners more secure? Emily, as you know, you think in this age of AI, it is even harder. You think of the AI of this age of TikTok videos and scrolling and all the things, deep fake. Who's real? So for me to be able to wave the flag of small business security and say malware is real, spyware is real, phishing is real, all these threats are real. You should be slow down before you click. And do you have good security solutions installed, you know, on your computers? That's the other thing I'm doing is working with amazing brands like Bitdefender and making sure that we're safe and secure, including you, Emily.
And you have a new book that came out not that long. I mean, I know you've written many books, but what's your most recent book that you just came out with?
Thank you. Celebrity CEO, which is all about the power, which I know you want to touch on, personal branding. So Celebrity CEO, how you can be more known and well-known in your marketplace. That's the really crux of it, that every entrepreneur can be a celebrity. Everybody can't be Emily, who, you know, reaches gazillions of people on Entrepreneur. Everybody can't be Ramon, who shaves his head every Saturday morning. Can't be Ramon, but everybody can be themselves and make a bigger impact in their personal brand. Yes.
Okay, give me a little bit of the framework of the book so that when we link it in the show notes, everyone has a little teaser. Who's like the ideal reader? Give me a little, without giving everything, give me a little bit of the framework.
But listen, if you're a small business owner and you're wondering, how can I be more known? How can I make a greater impact? The framework of Celebrity CEO is very simple. It's how to make attraction. How do you build trust? And how do you make a sale? Sales are good. Everybody wants the money. But the only way you can make a sale is if you've built trust. And the only way you can build trust, which is also educating people, is how do people know who you are? Are you generating awareness for your brand? That's the thing. You have a company like Starbucks or Coca-Cola or Ford. These are corporate brands, which are great corporate brands. But the personal brand is Ramon Reyes. Emily, how do we show up to get attention, to build trust, and to make a sale? That's the crux of what challenging people to be the celebrity CEO of their industry is like.
And people want to spend money with people that they know, like, and trust. So
right. John James,
that's it. It's
marketing.
It's the framework for all of that. So I love that. Okay, great. We'll link that below. Let's talk a little bit about this mental health strain of entrepreneurship. It's something that you've started to talk about more recently, even giving talks about it. Like at South by Southwest, you did a talk, right?
Are you like, you should work for CNN or work for like 60 Minutes. I mean, the Stephen Bartlett of, he goes deep. He'll answer like, I talked to your mother. You know, Stephen Bartlett, the fire CEO. I talked to your mother. And your mother said that inside your jacket is a gold star. What is that? Like, what? How did he know?
Well, I'm telling you, I feel like I didn't even have to do that much research, but I know you as this positive and enthusiastic person. But I also know if anyone's been in business as long as you have, like, there's been a lot going on under the calm waters, if you will. And so to see that you've actually done talks about it specifically really, like, you know, lit something up in me, because I feel like it's so core to what every entrepreneurial journey looks like, the highs, the lows, the loneliness of it. And the language that you put to this entire, you know, phenomena is very relatable, I think, and also hits on the fact that, like, you don't need to be completely struggling for this to be around, and it's good to address it and work through it versus just like ignore or pretend it's not there.
Emily, you said it well. And I can, to your point, I was in my car. I had a blue jacket. I'll never forget it. I don't remember what exactly I said, but I said, hey, let's talk about entrepreneurial depression. And it got thousands and thousands of views. It's probably still up there somewhere. Somebody went to Google Ramon Ray entrepreneur depression. And I pitched that to South by Southwest panel picker, and it was voted on. So here's my take on that mental health, whatever we may call it. I've suffered with darkness and deep pangs of depression. And I'll use the word self-harm. Sometimes I use stronger words, but you never know the algorithms and all that, what people ding or not. But self-harm, struggled with deep bouts of these things in my life. As I sit here speaking to you today, Emily, yes, I'm healed from it. For me, one of my friends asked me, a Jewish friend, he said, Ramon, you know, how did you get healed? I had to take whatever the medicine he took. He was joking with me. I said, well, are you sure you want to know? I said, well, I'm a Christian. I believe in Jesus. He said, well, thanks. I'll note that. So we had a good laugh. But the point is, Emily, on these things, I've suffered with these things, which are dark things. You think of the famous committee, Mrs. Doubtfire, the CNN food guy. All these things are real things, and millions suffer in a variety of degrees. So my journey, to get to the point, is even as I sit here today, Emily, afterwards, I could be going into a, not a deep funk, but I have to be careful as what I'm trying to say. It's quiet. Nobody's here. I'm wondering, did I do a good job? Maybe Emily really doesn't even like me. Maybe I'm a loser because I don't have as many page views as the next guy. Oh, maybe the event I'm doing coming in a few days, maybe it's not going to, even as I say it, I can feel myself wanting to get ready to cry. And I don't mind crying, but you know, I can feel it. So my point being, telling your audience, especially, Ramon and Emily are sitting here, we're laughing, having a good time. And that's great. You should do it. I'm a laughing guy. So I mix laughing and crying. But the point I'm making, even as I said here, I need to have guardrails. I need to be careful. I need to pull myself up. I need to speak my words of affirmation because, yes, your boy here who's had all these accolades, you've heard from Emily, I've suffered with, and I can slip into deep depression. Maybe my wife says, Mo, I asked you to get garlic. You brought back ginger. That happens. That's a real thing. You know, I can be like, oh, and sit in the car kind of down on myself, or, you know, so I'll pause. But Emily, I don't know if I said something confusing, or is that helpful for what I'm trying to explain, you know?
It's exactly what I was hoping you would hit on. Do you feel like there's certain signs for yourself that you notice or recognize and you say, oh, I gotta address this, make sure it doesn't run away on me? Like, if you're comfortable sharing, do you have certain things that pop up that kind of alert you that maybe you need to pay attention?
For whatever reason, Emily, I think it's those closest to me that I disappoint. And I'll say it that way in case they're listening eventually. But those closest to me, that probably can affect me. And the closest to me is great, great people. I'll put it that way. Wonderful, loving people. But it's me, part of it's me, because maybe I'm super sensitive. So let's say Emily was like, hey, Ramon, I asked you to be on time here. I asked you not to have a black microphone cover thing, but you did. I could at the wrong moment, like, I'm nothing. And Emily's like, Ramon, I just said you got the wrong mic. So is that helpful? Meaning that's kind of one trigger I can easily harper, I think the word is harper, or if that's the wrong word, correct me, but harper on the negative, harper on, you know, Emily just said, Ramon, adjust your glasses. That's all she did. She didn't say she hated your whole suit. So is that kind of helpful? That's my lane of where I can kind of.
Yeah. Like you ruminate almost about something and you worry. Okay. How do you like get out of, do you try to just like think about something else, redirect, or you just kind of accept it and you'll move on with your next thing that you do today? Or is there any sort of, I feel like you go on to your next thing, but.
Yeah, no, it's a great question because, you know, we see each other, you know, in these scrolling and people talk the negative about social media. There is, but it's good. Emily shares what she wants to share. I share what I want to share. But so what do I do about it? What's the answer to do about depression or what Ramon does when I feel down? Yeah, I think moving on in a good way, not staying there. A, being grateful for what I have, remembering that I am somebody, and it passes. You know, being a person of faith, you know, that helps me. That's my journey. Everybody, some people are people of faith. Some people believe in no faith. Some people go have sports, go hug your dog, whatever it is. That was for you, Emily. So my point, though, being is that for me, it's you're welcome. For me, it's yeah, it's probably just moving on. My life is so full. My life is so rich. Being around people, having a steak with friends, you know, that fills me. But it's in the quiet. It's in the silence. It's in the early morning when maybe the payment didn't come through and I got to pay some family stuff. It's where the business didn't go so well that month or that last season and I'm stressed. That's where it can kind of get more tough.
Yeah, yeah. It sounds like gratitude is kind of like a foundation for you. Gratitude about what you have. And I feel like that is a huge thing for me too. I don't even know if I would have articulated it that way years ago, but that's where my brain goes. Whenever things are getting like kind of bad, I try to think about all of the things that I have that are so lucky, whether that's people in my life or resources or whatever the case may be. And that doesn't mean that I sometimes don't feel down about certain things, but I do find that so many small business owners, when they're going through this hard time, especially if they feel like the loneliness side of it, like no one understands, just trying to plug into people around you who maybe don't understand. You don't maybe need to talk about what's going on hard, but just plugging in to other people can sometimes help you and remind you what you have that is in the other column, right? Maybe there are things that are stressful, bad, negative, you're getting behind, but there's another column too of things in your life that can hopefully help you and help you navigate through it. I'm trying to think of how I kind of want to, I guess, bring us to a close here, because to me, it's not really a closure. Like, I feel like any of my listeners can go check out your work for a variety of reasons, but what do you want to kind of round us out on with your hindsight, your wisdom, the highs and lows? How do you feel like we should leave people today?
Yeah, Emily, thank you. And you know, usually the host does it, but thank you. Host is like, Ramon, let's see what you got. Bring it forth, Ramon. So here's two things I'll say, Emily. One, knowing your pedigree and what you've done in mine. I love this opportunity because we've talked, not the tactics, but we've talked about business, marketing and sales, whatever, events and selling businesses and all the things. That's great. Do that, listener. Do that. Build your business success rewritten, right? Dive into that. But I think the one thing I'll say is never forget that the best person you can be is yourself. When you feel down and icky and you feel like you can't do it, surround yourself with good people who maybe can lift you up. It's a mentor, a friend. DM Emily in the comments. You may not know her, but try that. If you have no one else, DM me and say you heard me on Success Rewritten with Emily. Really, truly do that. So I think what I'm trying to say, Emily, and I'll say just to repeat it, is A, there's business, growing our businesses and all the things we're doing in our family. But also we know that the human nature, you're going through a divorce, your pet died, your kid's very sick or got bullied in school. This is life, people. This is life. And do what you can with that and just do your best to make a difference in the world.
Okay, now we got to do the thing. Tell everyone where to go. Your current yeah. website, of course, but I want to get them all like your LinkedIn, your social, because no matter what you're working on, that's where they're going to find all of it. So give us the goods.
Yeah, the one best place to reach me, Emily, is RamonRay.com. RamonRay.com. If you want to connect to me, I have the daily show that I do. You can see that on Facebook, on LinkedIn, on Twitter, and et cetera, called The Rundown with Ramon. Those who want me to work with them in some way, if Emily does that, see her first. But Emily, if you don't do that, then feel free to see me at Ramon Office Hours. But all that through Emily, RamonRay.com, kind of my platform to connect you to the variety of things that I'm doing. RamonRay.com.
I really appreciate it. And we're going to link some stuff in the show notes so you can check it out there. I also might feel like I can get a couple books to give away. We'll see. We're going to do something. But Ramon, thank you so much for taking the time today. I feel like I've been an observer of your work for so long, and it's really nice to just talk to you one-to-one.
Thank you, Emily.